West Point Community Church. For more info on who we are, go to cpmodesto.org.
Obviously, we're having baptisms this morning. You know, about a month ago, we had baptisms, but what an awesome thing to have another set of baptisms this week because of how the Spirit is moving in people's hearts and how God is moving in our church family. And if you have your Bibles, I want to turn real quickly to Matthew chapter 18. Jesus is with his disciples. And they're arguing about the things that they typically argue about, the things that seem really important to us but aren't really that important to God because he has this stuff figured out. And God doesn't always, we rarely think like God unless we really are listening and we are really surrendered. And so in Matthew 18, Jesus is I don't know, I imagine it was maybe a morning-ish and maybe it was just kind of nice weather. This is my headcanon of what this looks like. And Jesus is walking along with his disciples, and he overhears them again arguing about something that they tend to bring up quite a bit. It's like, who's the line leader, basically? If you go back to, like, you know, elementary school, and, you know, you kind of rotate through who gets to be the line leader, that's kind of the seeming maturity of the disciples often when they're walking with Jesus, is who gets to be the line leader, who's going to be the greatest. And so in Matthew chapter 18, verse 1, it says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And the disciples, just like us, were to some extent obsessed with who stands where, their place in the hierarchy. Who's important? Who's most important? And where do I fit in this line? And it's natural for us to think that way, but this way of thinking is actually unnatural in the kingdom of God, because that's not the way God works, and that's not the way he sets up his kingdom. In our minds, the greatest is the one who's the most successful, maybe someone who is most wealthy, maybe the one who's most respected. We can take all those things, one who has status and privilege above other people in a community, but with Jesus, this couldn't be further than the truth. And we see that over and over in Jesus' teaching and the way he taught and treated people. And so Jesus answers them when they say, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he answers, he's got kind of two answers here. He actually answers a question that they didn't ask, and then he answers the question that they did ask. And so it says, and calling to him a child. So they're somewhere maybe walking through a city. Maybe they're sitting in a park. I don't know where they are, but he sees there's some kids around, and he calls a little child over to him. And he puts this little child in the midst of them, and he says, truly I say to you, unless you turn away from something. What are they turning from? It's their obsession with who's the greatest. Where am I standing in line? And he says, unless you turn and become like children, here's the question he answers that they didn't ask. He says, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. He's not even touching on who the greatest is, but he says, if you don't turn and become like these little children, you won't even enter the kingdom of heaven. And he says, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I think this is kind of hard for us to wrap our heads around, because here's the thing. I don't know any children who behave humbly. Like, what are we looking for here? What is Jesus saying? I don't know. Do you have any parents? Do you have humble children? Like, they are your models of humility, and you follow them, and you're like, I want to be like my kid in humility. I mean, that's a little bit of a weird thing that Jesus says. And here's the thing. Jesus says to them, the turn away, change your preoccupation with status and how you think of greatness, and humble yourself like a child is humble. And this isn't an attitude, because the humility of a child is not an attitude, but it is an objective, undeniable state. It is something that just is, that they are. Because a child, does anyone know of a baby that's born who is not fully, completely, undeniably dependent on the adult world for their preservation and their protection? That is an abject state of humility. They can do nothing for themselves, even though they cry and they demand. A three-year-old cannot survive without the adult world around them, without parents. They are objectively humble. Are you catching that? That's what Jesus is saying here. Unless you have the humility of a child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So what is Jesus saying about that? He's saying, unless you are objectively, wholly dependent on Jesus for his protection and his provision, you bring nothing to the table, just like a three-year-old doesn't bring anything to the table. Unless you are objectively humble, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's an uncomfortable statement, isn't it? But what Jesus is doing is he's reinforcing is that we need Jesus, period. Nothing of ourselves is offered into that picture. We are completely inadequate and unable to do anything to get there. In fact, as Jesus did this, the reality was that children had very little value in that culture. And for him to say you have to become one of these was borderline offensive. But that's what Jesus said, and he was able to give them an example and show them this child and said, look, the way this child is, that's how you enter the kingdom of heaven. And he says that whoever humbles himself is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And here's the race to be first in the kingdom of God. Who can depend most on Jesus? That's the race. Who is most dependent on Jesus is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That's how you become line leader. Is you are the most dependent person in all the people you know on Jesus. You are the most needy. You are the most high maintenance. You are the most needy for Jesus in all the people that are around you. That is what makes you the greatest in the kingdom, and you trust him in that. And you accept that, and you live in that. And so this kind of makes me a little bit uncomfortable, the way Jesus is talking here. He says, look, unless you are completely, objectively humbled, you don't even get in the door. And when you get in the door, your dependence on me determines your place within that kingdom. Those are the words of Jesus. And so really this answer is not only that we all need some degree of turning from or changing from our default and become utterly dependent on Jesus for salvation, for greatness. And so those of us who have any degree of confidence in a kingdom other than God's should take heed and consider this message. I think that's probably all of us to some degree. We have some confidence in the things we've learned and the things that have worked for us. And we go to those things, especially when we're in crisis or when we're afraid or when we're unsure. The question is, does my confidence of that utterly dependent child, objectively humble, trusting the goodness of the Father, or is it in ourselves? Is my confidence in the Father, who is fully responsible to take care of me in every possible way, or am I trying to figure things out with the things I bring to the table. I share that story with you this morning because this morning is, I believe, a divine moment for us as a church family in growing and becoming more like Jesus. This morning we're going to have baptisms, and one of those baptisms is Case Reynolds. In a second, you'll have a hard time getting through this, and you'll join me in this. So if you know the Reynolds family, I know many of us in this family, many people in this church family have walked along a significant journey. And for those of you who maybe don't know Case, Case is nonverbal, and he's obviously right over there, and you'll see him up here. And so Mike and Catherine came to Travis not long ago, and the Holy Spirit had laid on their hearts the idea for having Case baptized. And they talked to Travis, and Mike talked to me a little bit, and Catherine talked to me a little bit, and kind of asked, you know, what does this look like? What does it look like for someone who doesn't communicate traditionally that they have a relationship with Jesus and that they want to get baptized in obedience to what Jesus taught? And I'll say this. I think Travis and my response was, far be it from us to stand in the way of someone who embodies what Jesus actually taught in Matthew 18. You'll get to hear Catherine share about kind of God's work and how he led them into this decision. Because one of the questions you may have is, well, how does this work? How does someone who can't communicate traditionally? And here's the thing that I want you to hear. Being nonverbal doesn't mean non-communicative or unable to experience or express the grace and goodness of God. Often what people say with their lips, and this is biblical, does not match what is on their hearts. As we join together this morning and Case gets baptized and others get baptized, Case doesn't have the barrier of words. What we get to see is the heart that is dependent on God and the family that God has placed him in, which is the essence of the gospel. I love the moments in our church services when I hear from over there noises and sounds coming from Case during worship. Romans chapter 8, 26, as Paul is writing about all creation groaning, and as he writes about how sometimes we just don't have the expression, the word to communicate what God is doing inside of us. Paul writes, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And when I hear Case making sounds during worship, I think those are the groanings that the Spirit is making that are too deep for words. And so this morning, as I said, I think we have a divinely orchestrated opportunity not only to be witnesses to baptisms, but of a child living this objective humility, professing faith in Jesus in his own God-designed way, but we are about to be witnessed to by someone who is arguably one of the greatest in heaven, because that's what Jesus said. And so let me pray for us. Father, it is so humbling to be part of this family and each other's journey. God, you knew what you were doing when you created each one of these people here this morning who are going to be baptized, and each person has a significant story of how you have intersected their lives and moved in them. God, I can't help but think that Jesus, if you were walking into this place today in the flesh, you would probably direct our attention to Case, and you would bring him in our midst, and you would say, unless you turn and become like this child, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. And if you have the humility that he has, you'll be the greatest. So God, thank you for such an overwhelming, beautiful picture of the Father's love and care for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Say hi, Case.
Hi.
Everyone say hey. So yeah, Matt shared with you when Mike and Catherine came to me and talked about Case getting baptized. And one of the things in our conversations over the last weeks has been that statement of Case doesn't verbally speak, but he communicates. So Catherine, I would just love for you to share a little bit about what that means.
Yeah, no, it's so interesting because last night I was thinking about, you know, what's Case's testimony. And truthfully, exactly what Matt said, just thinking about how he fully lives moment to moment, relying on the fact that he's going to be provided for, that he's loved and taken care of, and just how that looks in my life and in our family's life, just how we have to rely on God moment by moment. And also just the fact that we have really seen Case just make a joyful noise to God over the years. He wants to go swimming.
We'll get you lower. Here we go.
And ooh, that's fun.
That's better.
So just as we have seen him during worship time or a lot of times, even over the years when he's had really hard nights with seizures or different things like that, we have just taken the time, and it's usually in just pure exhaustion, just to sing the song Amazing Grace and also Because He Lives. And those two songs, whenever we sing them, and even yesterday we had a really hard moment, and I was exhausted. Case was tired of me manhandling him. There was a lot going on. And just in that exhaustion, I started singing that to him, and he just lit up, and he immediately starts to make a joyful noise. He immediately tries to raise his hands. He's very spastic in his arms, so he can't do this. But any other song I sang, he enjoyed. But with that song, he was just shooting his arms out, and we just feel like he praises God so much in his heart and just in his life. And as I was thinking about, you know, what this is very relaxing, what Case's testimony is, I also thought about just the people that have been in his life, and he is unable to speak. But he is able to communicate in so many ways. And I didn't run this by Travis, but I was just curious if you have prayed for Case or if he has touched your life in some way, would you just stand up? And I knew that would make me cry, but I just feel like for somebody that can't speak to have such a testimony that's probably bigger than mine, it's just so special. And so we thank you so much for praying, and you guys can sit down, but thank you. We thank you for praying and for being in this journey with us, because I can't imagine doing this without you all. And I know sometimes on our hardest days, I just remind myself, you know, I'm not alone. And we don't need to hide away because cases, all of yours as well. And so we just wanted to take the time to baptize him because it took us a couple years just to pray about it and kind of decide what we wanted to do. But we just really felt like it was the right thing. And so when we brought it up to Travis and Matt and they were super excited, it just felt like a relief because I knew it was what we were supposed to be doing. But yeah.
That's amazing. Mike, you want to share some things?
I don't have as much to share. I just wanted to say thank you, the church body. The texts, the messages we get frequently. The first couple years were hard, and the church body stepped up and really took care of us. And just to be here today thinking about the impact that Case has had without saying one word is so much more. And we're just grateful to be in a church and have a family that prays for us. And we look forward to what God continues to do in Case and just the impact that he has. And thank you guys so much for being part of our journey.
And truthfully, sorry, but he does have less words. It says in the Bible, you know, where two or more are gathered, and there are definitely moments where I feel like sometimes I'm just alone with Case, and I feel the presence of God so strongly that I know that God is with him because I feel him, and it's just such a sweet, it's just such a sweet time, and sometimes we can't do all the things, but just being alone, the two of us in the presence of God is so special.
This is an amazing opportunity for us as a church to witness God working in someone's life in a different way, in a beautiful way that shows us how broad and how deep God's mercy and love is. And I remember even a long time ago when Case was much littler, he just loved listening to worship and especially choir. And Catherine a few times brought him to choir practice when we were doing Christmas choir. And he just laid on a blanket, and as we sang these beautiful songs about Jesus, he was just enraptured in joy and dancing around a little bit there on his blanket. And it has been such an honor, Mike and Catherine, for us as your church family to love Case as one of our own. And I just want to say from your church family to your whole family, it's an honor for you guys to be part of this church.
Thank you.
In Case, buddy, it is such an honor that you are part of this church family. And to call you brother, we love you so much. And we're so grateful that you are part of this family. You are a treasure to us. And we love you so, so much. So we're going to baptize Case now, accepting his family's testimony on his behalf, what Jesus has done in him and for him. And we look forward to the day in heaven when Case will finally be able to verbally say what we're saying now with his baptism. So you guys ready? I want those people that Catherine asked to stand, I want you to stand again with Case, would you? So Case, because we love you, because you are part of this body, this family, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's give Casey a hand.
Wow. Oh, man. It is. This is Guadalupe. Man, what a wonderful morning we're having so
beautiful,
far, right?
Yes.
Awesome. Lupe, will you share a little bit of your story with our family this morning?
I'm truly touched right now by Jay's story and her and the family. And I just want to say that I got my son right there recording me, and it's going to make me so nervous. But I'm so blessed. Today I know that it's not by chance. It's by God's chosen me to be here. And it is my time to tell a story, and he's got plans, beautiful plans and purpose for me to meet in this world and to be with my children. And it is when I found myself without my children that I realized that I was way far from home, and I found my home back in Jesus Christ. And today I'm ready to surrender. I surrender myself actually on that same bench that my girls are sitting up over there. And I said, here it is, here I am. What you got to do with me, and today I'm here ready to get baptized.
Yeah, that's amazing. Awesome.
All right.
Thank you, Lupe. And obviously, you've surrendered your life to Jesus as your Savior and King. And
yes, sir.
Is your intention to live the rest of your life surrendered to Jesus and the community of the local church?
Yes, it is.
Awesome. Well, Lupe, it's my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thanks, Ryan. All right, Tina.
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. I feel wonderful.
You feel wonderful.
I feel wonderful.
You were nervous earlier.
I was nervous, but I said a prayer, and I know that the fear doesn't come from God, so I feel peaceful now.
Amen.
Amen.
Awesome.
I do.
All right, Tina, where do you come from? Will you share a little of your story with
us? Sure. I come from a family who believes in God, and I was raised on Bible principles. But I've turned, later on in life, I kind of like lost where I was going, and I struggled with substance abuse, and I was in a toxic relationship recently, and I was homeless, and I was broken and no hope, and I one day woke up having like that in my heart, what I know was right and wrong. I just decided that I didn't want to live like that no more. So I went to the Redwoods treatment facility, mm-hmm. and I found out that I was pregnant, and I didn't want to be a mother who mm-hmm. raised a child in that kind of lifestyle. So I'm clean and sober today. I have restored my relationship with my children, and I have learned through coming to church and just through the facility that like you have to have an intimate relationship with God. So I'm learning every day to build that intimate relationship with Him. I get in my Word. I pray. I read books on forgiveness because I know He can't forgive me without forgiving myself, and I have a lot of guilt and shame. Today it's different. You know, I have those relationships restored. I'm learning to forgive myself as He's forgiving me, and it's just a wonderful life.
No, that's amazing. Thank you. I love just as you're learning to pursue Jesus by reading His Word and going to Him in prayer, we got to see like a real life example of what that looks like.
Right.
Stepping into something that's a little intimidating. Y'all are nice, but this is still a little intimidating,
very
you know? But to step into that and say, all right, Lord, help me. Jesus, help me. And to experience the peace that comes
right.
with that is so amazing. So that's wonderful. Tina, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You surrender your life to Jesus as your Savior and King.
Yes, I have.
And is your intention to live the rest of your life
yes.
surrendered to Jesus in the community of the church?
Yes.
Awesome. All right, Tina, it's on your profession of faith that I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Emily. Yeah. I'm not trying to freeze you all. All right, this is Emily. Emily, will you share a little bit of your story?
Yeah, I started attending Crosspoint about a year and a half ago, and I found myself surrounded with a lot of people that were believers, and I started attending, but I wasn't really sure why or like where I was heading with it until I went away to school. And when I went back just up to school, I started going to a church up there and attending a Bible study group up there, and I really felt like my relationship with the Lord was for me, and like was just, it propelled me forward in my faith, and I felt like I was really like doing what I was called to do. And I was being a good disciple and was going with my roommate, and I felt like we just connected really well on that. And ever since then, I've just realized I wanted to get baptized and I wanted to do this. So I was surrounded with the church that I started going with, and yeah.
That's awesome.
I feel like he's taught me a lot about forgiveness, and right now I feel like I'm learning a lot about like how to listen for him, especially in hard times. So,
yeah. Awesome. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun to get to know Emily over the last year. She's one of the young adults that comes over to my house on Sunday nights, and it's been so cool to watch you kind of go from being surrounded by people that know Jesus to really like owning it. Yeah. And that was really obvious, honestly, really early on, to see you make the decision like, I'm gonna read the Bible for myself. Like, these people are saying these things about it, but I'm gonna read it myself. And then for you to even just show up and be like, this is what I've been reading, this is what I've been learning, like this is the difference that Jesus is making in my life. And that's been so evident to me and to us. So we're so glad that you're sharing that with our church family this morning, Emily. So it's awesome. You've surrendered your life to Jesus as your Savior and King, and it's your intention to live the rest of your life surrendered to him in the community of the local church.
Yes.
Well, that's wonderful. It's on your profession of faith that I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Oh, my God.
All right, this is Dominic. Dominic, how you doing?
I'm doing good too.
Awesome. Sir, well, don't do that.
What?
It just makes me feel old. It's like, whatever, but still, you know? Man, this has been a weird morning. I've been called some, I felt old a couple times this morning already. Dominic, will you share a little bit of your story?
I've been coming to Crosspoint Church since about 2016 when I moved here from Sacramento.
Okay.
And my parents decided not to baptize me as a young child because they want me to find my own path with the Lord, and they want me to, you know, create my own way with him. And I feel like he's really taught me to forgive people and just, I want this to get baptized right now, to just take that step, cross that bridge.
So what's that kind of looked like for you to find your own way with the Lord?
It's just reading the Bible on my own and kind of not having to rely on other people to tell me to read the Bible and pray for the people. And the only person I need to rely on is him.
Yeah, that's amazing. And are you seeing that as you rely on him, he's making a difference in your life?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. No, that's wonderful. Thank you, Dominic. So you surrendered your life to Jesus as your Savior and King.
Yes.
And it's your intention to live the rest of your life surrendered to Jesus in the community of the local church.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, Dominic, it's on your profession of faith that I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, this is Caleb. And when we did baptisms, I guess a couple months ago, his mom had to like restrain him to keep from jumping in. So he's been pretty excited. So, Caleb, will you share with the church why you've been so excited, why you want to be baptized this morning?
Well, I've gone to a Christian school, and there's, like, a lot of stuff that I can do. Like, I have, like, at schools, like, we learn a lot about God, and we have, like, workbooks that we do when we go there. And so, and I like to learn about God, and I like to talk to people, you know?
Yeah.
It's like... like my favorite thing to do
is like, to talk just, about God.
And I'm just, yeah.
That's awesome.
And I'm just blessed to that I have God in my heart.
Yeah.
And like, and he makes me so I have joy a lot. And I just want to praise him for the rest of my life. And so I'm just really happy that I get to get baptized today.
Yeah, that's amazing. So am I. Absolutely. So am I. I kind of just want to stand quiet and just see how long you talk about Jesus. And you love to do that, so this could work out.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Caleb. So you've surrendered your life to Jesus as your Savior and King. And it's your intention to live the rest of your life surrendered to Jesus and the community of the church.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Caleb, it's on your profession of faith that I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's so wonderful to get to hear all that the Lord has done in the lives of these people. And we have some more baptisms we want to show you on video. Our kind of Monday night community, many of you know that on Monday nights we serve a meal to whoever in our community might need it. And we serve a lot of meals right here across the street. And then in the last, 10 or dozen years or so, because of relationships we've built with Ralston Tower, which is kind of a facility, a retirement facility for those that need some help. We take a whole bunch of meals over there on Monday night, and we have an incredible team of volunteers that have adopted different floors to build relationships, to get to know people, to pray with people, as well as to deliver a meal over there on Monday nights. And if that's something that interests you, that you'd love to serve in, they could use some help on Mondays, both here and at Ralston Tower. But recently we had some baptisms on a Monday night and wanted to share the video of those with you. So check this out.
If you ever had a question of whether God loves people and is working in people's lives, these are the testimonies that say a resounding yes. Amen. Baptism is this practice that Jesus gave us that is the sign of entry into the church family, the sign that we're born again, the sign that we have died to ourselves and we raised to live with Christ. That's what baptism is. And that's a one-time thing. Once family, always family. Amen? But we also have a regular rhythm that Jesus gave us. He gave us a one-time that shows the entry into the family. And he gives us another one called communion, or we call it the Lord's Supper. That marks our continued faith in Jesus. So that we don't forget our baptism years ago, but weekly, we're reminded that Jesus died for our sins, took our sin into his body, took the punishment for us, and he gave us righteousness. What an exchange. And this bread and this cup weekly reminds us of the ground that we stand on, which is the grace and love of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand together? Would you take your bread and take that into your hand? We're just going to have a moment of quiet. for you to reflect on the sacrifice of Jesus. And Jesus specifically said, do this in remembrance of me. And so we're going to obey him. Would you remember, think on, meditate on the grace and the sacrifice of Jesus right now as you hold this bread? Now, would you open your eyes? And before we eat this bread, I want to ask you to do something. And if you're comfortable, if not, that's okay. Don't do it. But would you just turn to someone next to you before you eat the bread and just say, Jesus did this for you. Go ahead and do that. Jesus did this for you. Jesus did this for you. Let's eat the bread. We have this cup that is the symbol of the new covenant in Jesus' blood. When Jesus died and he bled on that cross, it started a new way to understand God's grace. And this covenant we live under is not one where we earn and God rewards our earning. It's one where Jesus was the perfect, spotless sacrifice, and we receive all the blessings by grace. So let's drink this cup in remembrance of Jesus.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope you feel inspired and moved by what God is doing here at Crosspoint.